day four, fourth and final day of SEC Media Days here at the Grand Hyatt in downtown Nashville. Our SEC Media coverage is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. It's Hypel Day today.
Hype day.
Hype it up.
Hype
it
day.
Up.
Hype day.
Hype day. You know? So I guess it's a good day for Vol fans.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bad day for me.
Why is it a bad day for you?
Because I didn't win the Powerball. I played it, didn't win the Powerball.
No.
Somebody from California won it.
Oh,
dang it.
Dang it.
God, that's
today's
goodness.
Canceled.
Absolutely. Let's cancel today. Everybody, hey, all y'all go home.
Hey,
go
Chase, home. Chase, we're going to wrap up the show exactly. here. If you wouldn't mind just filling in the next 3 hours, we'd appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. You can't let your world
I'm gonna dry
sink
my sorrows.
On a day like that.
I'm going to have to dry my sorrows hey. In a Faygo pop or something.
Next time.
Yeah, next time.
Next
You're
time.
Right about that.
Yeah, there's always another Powerball. Our friend, Mitchell Light, who was walking past us,
yes,
will join us in 30 minutes.
He's going to get the free food.
Be careful.
Be careful. is my warning
shaky?
That I shall heed.
Shaky today?
I'm okay today.
Oh,
Monday night and Tuesday was...
It was rough.
Rough.
You said it was rough.
Man. It was
Willie,
a rough couple of
here.
Days.
No, I ate with Caroline. That's uh-huh. the
and
that's
I was
the scary part.
Text Willie as I'm laying down on the bathroom floor, feeling miserable with food poisoning. Like, do you feel as bad as I do?
Oh, no.
I know. Okay, now.
Willie got a cast iron stomach. I mean, he's been through it
clearly.
All.
Maybe
so. I need
to
sharpen it up a little bit. But Mitch Light will join us in 30 minutes. Rick Neuheisel.
Yes.
D. Mace's old pal in college.
This is must listen to. This
radio
is
Sirius XM. It's going to be an absolute blast. Looking forward to hearing all the tea from D. Mace's days with Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. New's a good guy. He has story for days. Great talker. Insightful individual. You know, I was talking to him a little bit off air with he and Tequila Spikes, and we were just talking about college realignment and the state of college football and all that good stuff. But New is very insightful, and you know, he puts things in simple terms, and that can help, you know, the situation that college football is in now. But you know, when things are simple, you know, those that are at the top don't look at it that way. We could do it a simple way, but they don't want to do it that way.
Right.
So, you know, but it'd be nice to have New on to discuss some of those things.
That will be at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Like I said, it is Hypel Day. It is Tennessee Day. Mm-hmm. So we have to address the number one question that we have been talking about all week. A question that we threw out to Paul Feinbaum, to Joe Tessitore yesterday. And that is Tennessee going to be able to build upon the success they had last year, or was last year just lightning in a bottle? This is what Paul Feinbaum had to say about it. I want to start it off with your alma mater, actually, with Tennessee. Tennessee this past season, I feel like fans feel like they have exercised so many of their demons that they have been feeling over the last 20-plus years. Was last year with Josh Heupel and Hendon Hooker and Cedric Tillman and Jalin Hyatt, was that a one-off, or is that just a peak of what's to come of Tennessee's potential excellence?
I think it was a preview. And, I mean, that team really wasn't that great. I mean, if you go down the personnel, I mean, they had a lot of holes mm-hmm. they had to put together. And I thought Heupel was simply a maestro.
So that was Paul Feinbaum on our show earlier this week. He says last year was not lightning in a bottle, that this is just a preview of what's to come with Josh Heupel in this offense and with Tennessee. What do we say? Last year was lightning in a bottle, or a preview of what's to come for Tennessee?
What I've learned about, you know, college football is this. When you have a, you know, an innovative play caller in this game, it doesn't necessarily, you know, translate to the NFL because I think in the NFL, when you have more players that are capable of defending on the other side of the ball, you can go, you know, 2-3 deep and still be able to run your defense and be effective in it. I think college football mm-hmm. is a little bit different. You know, you may have 1 5-star at corner, and then everyone else is trying to sort of fit in. They're good, but not as good.
Right.
You know, so anytime you got a innovative play caller at the college level, I think you're going to score points. I mean, we could look across the board at guys that may not necessarily won games. You look at Lane Kiffin, what he's been able to do at Ole Miss. They haven't, you know, stringed together, you know, three or four 10-win game seasons. Mm-hmm. But what they do, they score a lot of points. And it's hard to stop a college football team from scoring points in college football, especially if you have a quarterback at the helm that is able to make all the throws, if you have a good wide receiver or two wide receivers, and you just got to have an offensive line that can hold up, mm-hmm. you know, for at least two seconds, because they're not looking all the time to stretch the field. The hashes are different. They spread these guys out. They make you declare right away what you're doing from a defensive standpoint. I said that all year about Tennessee. It's hard to defend Tennessee. Why? Because they sit outside the numbers. The numbers are wider than it is in the NFL. They sit outside the numbers, and they force you as a defense to declare what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So it's easy for me as a quarterback to read it. I know exactly where I'm going. Some defenses try to play with you a little bit, but they can't do it all the time. Even the great Nick Saban. The only person that had true success was Kirby Smart. Kirby's a genius when it comes to defense. But even at that, even in
players.
Yeah, even in that, Tennessee had their opportunities.
They did.
Mm-hmm. To score. They dropped balls, overthrew balls. They still had their opportunity to score. So when you have an innovative play caller that knows and understands the game and knows how to call it, it's very hard to stop them. So I don't think this was a one-off for Heupel and his team. Now, are they going to make it? Or are they going to win the national championship or win the SEC? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think they will score a lot of points, and I think they will win at least 9 or 10 games.
I think that the questions I have, number one, exactly what you just said, the bar is a lot higher now. They jumped up. Mm-hmm. So now expectation levels, the fan base is rightfully so, super excited. The other two things that when I hear you say that, Derek, I think you're dead on, but this is what I wonder about. Number one, will the league figure out how to defend that offense a little better each time they see it? I remember my frame of reference is 40 minutes of hell, Nolan Richardson.
Uh-huh.
They entered the SEC when I was playing at Vanderbilt.
Uh-huh.
They did things, you know, I would say Rick Pitino's Kentucky teams had a lot of pressure defense. Up and down the court, they had their own kind of version of a fast-paced 40 minutes of hell, but it wasn't like you couldn't scout Arkansas. They were so crazy. I mean, the league had never seen anybody really play like that. But after a few years of that, you get used to it a little bit more. You understand exactly you know what works against it a little bit better. I think there's always a little bit of that, the familiarity that a league gets with a new coach once they've been in there. So that will be the key for Heupel. Do they add a few wrinkles? Do they evolve a bit as the defenses try to adjust to take away some of the things that work so well? And then the last part of it is, can they get the type of quarterback play or close to the type of quarterback play they got last year? Because, you know, Hendon Hooker, he had a great year. When your quarterback has a great year, you're going to win a lot of games. If you go down a notch, it could make the difference in a close game or two.
And that's why I think it's an intriguing question, because you could make the argument, well, you know, the marriage of Hendon Hooker and Cedric Tillman and Jalin Hyatt made a really solid offensive line. Everything just clicked. That everything just worked perfectly in that year, and then that may have been the ceiling of what that offense, what that team can achieve. But I don't think it was lightning in a bottle. Like, I look at, like, true lightning in a bottle was the 2019 LSU team. It was the greatest college football team maybe of all time. And then they turn around and go 5-5 and give up 600 passing yards to Mississippi State in that first game after a national championship. And then the next season they go 6-6 and it's, you know, they just fall off. The coach gets fired 2 years removed from a national championship. That is truly boom into immediate bust. I don't think Tennessee is going to be like that. I agree with Demas that as long as you have that offense and as long as you have a quarterback that can throw it deep and receivers that are fast enough to get deep, you're probably going to be pretty successful and you're going to put up a good bit of points. But it is a very fair point by you, Willie. At some point, someone's going to crack the code. At some point, other offenses and other offensive coordinators and offensive gurus are going to figure out what you're doing, and they're going to do it themselves, and they might figure out how to do it better than you. So 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, Josh Heupel's going to have to adjust and adapt. And that's something that D-Mace and I talked about a ton yesterday, was how Nick Saban has been able to adapt. So can Josh Heupel do that at Tennessee and continue to evolve? But I don't think they're quite there yet in this upcoming season where they need to continue to evolve. Because I think at this point, everyone, Nick Saban included, was left scratching their heads about how in the world
are we
letting Jalin Hyatt be 50 yards downfield completely undefended with, you know,